You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 every Thursday at this time, a little after 10 o'clock, with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City with Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On December 15th, 2022, Thursday, and we have joining us today, live and in person, Deanne Jennings.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Our Director of Operations, moving slowly, from moving us into the building and taking care of all the details to, you know, your regular job.
It's feeling more like home. It's nice.
Yeah, it is. You bet. And all the Christmas decorations there, too, in the lobby don't hurt. Mm-hmm. That helps. And joining us, too, good morning, Heidi Cartwright.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here this morning.
Huge audience today. We appreciate all of you joining us and all of those in the popcorn stands and all the rest. Mm-hmm. Heidi Cartwright, our own managing executive. And boy, meeting with a lot of clients. We were talking about that this morning.
Been
lots of folks
really
coming
busy.
In.
At the end of the year, I think people start thinking about things and getting ready for the new year. And so, yeah, we've had a lot of people come in, and it's great to show off our new space, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love having you come in. We were talking about that, too. The people, you know, robo-advisors can have their role, but for much of this, many parts of this, I was going to say, the individual conversation where you're actually able to look at someone and get that energy, if you will, of having a live conversation with someone about, okay, here's where I am. Having someone in some cases just listen to you about where you're at, and then you can hear yourself talk and process it. That can be incredible for any and all of us. So we love doing this stuff called financial advisory, financial planning, tax planning, all the rest of it. We're not tax professionals nor licensed attorneys. Thank you very, very much. So today we're talking about questions from Ed Slott. And why? Why, you ask? Because we had a question last week from a gentleman saying, you know, I'm looking at a local financial advisor. You know, you're a bit far away, Dennis. How can I do this? So it isn't really what he said. It was something like that. So we thought, what a great time to have these questions from Mr. Ed Slott. 10 questions to ask a potential financial advisor. 1. I know this area requires specialized knowledge in IRA distribution planning. Do you have expertise in this area? Obviously, you can ask this question however you like, but do you have expertise in this area? Now, that might seem kind of bold, but ask it in the way that you perhaps feel most comfortable with that, I think is a great question. And then a follow-up question, perhaps, how would I know that? How would I know that you have that expertise?
Well, you can know that, but you can ask them what designations they have. Dennis has several. I have one. And that means that the advisor has spent some significant time studying, taking tests to make sure that they understand the material. And so that's what those designations like CPA means, and
CFP,
RICP, all the different kinds of designations that professionals have, means they've gone the extra step and they've studied the material in depth.
They've drank that Kool-Aid. I'm thinking in my own mind of the CPWA, the Certified Private Wealth Advisor designation, and how I went through, for me, the gauntlet this summer.
It was intense.
It was incredibly intense. I think I had to take a week off to get caught up so that I could actually cover the material. It was that significant. But, oh my gosh, it had reference material that I still think about now in terms of how in-depth, helpful, and useful it is in our own practice as well as in the knowledge arena. So these designations mean something.
And then Dennis also, like in our case, both Dennis and I are part of Ed Slatt's Master Elite program. And that means that Dennis and I have to go to class twice a year for a couple of days, and they're long days, and we get tested on the material there as well. And that keeps us up to date on the newest laws, the newest strategies. And so those sort of things, they actually mean something, those different things of how much education you're, and time and effort you're putting in that.
Those question and answer sessions are just dynamic with them. It really is amazing. The questions that come up, and usually 300 to 500, depending on the day of the week, are in that room. And some of the best financial advisors in the country, not exaggerating one bit. I would encourage other financial advisors who listen to this show to consider the Ed Slatt program. I don't think we've ever done that on the show live, but oh my gosh, it is a dynamic experience. And to hear these other questions of other folks in the audience, that's why when we were doing Zoom presentations with them, it really lost a lot of its pop, if you will, its power. But just to hear what other people are thinking, it's the same reason we love teaching a class. What is the rest of the audience concerned about, and how can it help me? You know, it's almost the information on the level. What do you call that when you're getting info from the other part of the populace, where they go, you know, the street information, if you will. What's going on in the street info? Two, what books have you read on that topic? What's interesting about this, I was thinking about that reference manual that we get every 6 months. It's not
300 pages.
Oh, it's crazy, but it's crazy good. Three, what professional training do you take in IRA distribution planning? You may really stump them on this one. Have you had any special training in how to make certain that I handle this properly? And accompanying that is the last question. Who do you turn to when you have questions on IRA distribution planning? And we've talked about that. Every once in a while, we have to contact Ed Slatt and their professionals there. All right. This client hit me with one out of left field. I'm not quite sure how to answer that question. Can you help us with that? And the answer, of course, is always yes. And sometimes it's a long answer, but it's critical. And, you know, we would think, well, how difficult can an IRA be, Dennis? I mean, really, right? It doesn't have to be that difficult. But it certainly can be. So to avoid those issues, when there are concerns or problems, being able to voice those, say it out loud, you know? Mm-hmm. We as advisors on the other side of it need to hear from you when there's a question that's bugging you about this particular aspect of the IRA or RMDs or what about this Roth, you know, tell me more, whatever it is.
That's such a good point, Dennis, to ask, is there an expert behind your expert?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So important.
And talk about nerds, you know? Oh, my gosh. All you have to do is see one or two of the folks up there at the Ed Slatt presentation, and you'll get what I mean. It's just self-describing.
I can imagine the question and answer sessions. It'd be like foreign language to us.
Yeah, there's a lot of acronyms that are thrown around, you got to pay attention.
And it's pretty interesting. There's a gentleman who came over from India back, I think he was, it was back in the 50s. He came over with $8 in his pocket and got started from, talk about zero, but he always sits in front. Both of his sons are heart surgeons, so perspective on how bright and talented he is. it's amazing to get to hear him ask his questions, because he always sits in the very front, you know, where the A students sit.
So he had $8 in his pocket. Now he's a financial advisor.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
With two sons we presumably put through college and are heart surgeons.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of law and legal training there, but he absolutely breathes in the power of continuing education. He's always preaching that, and it's a motivator to the rest of us. Four, how do you stay current on key IRA tax laws? What information do you get? I may ask you a question, Ron, kind of out of left field. Have you read Benjamin Netanyahu's new book?
I have not. I know the answer to that. No.
Good job.
Well, talk about a fascinating read. I'm about halfway into it. And, oh, my gosh, the history of Israel. So in-depth. And his part of this is his own brag, if you will. He's talking about his family and himself, which you would expect. It's a biography. But his talent is amazing. And he talks about referencing great material to help in his own advice. And for that perspective and aspect, he also talks in depth about the loss of his brother in Entebbe to interrupting a significant incidents there of a plane being hijacked.
The history of the Middle East, if you want to dive into that, is a deep dive. But when you read his bio, is it intricate? Is it hard to absorb all of the history and keep that in perspective? Or does he make it easy?
It's not easy, but it's not hard.
Okay.
I would say somewhere in between. He makes it very readable and interesting. I've not been bored at all. Yeah, so that's a great question.
By the way, do you remember the early days of the Internet? Remember Netscape? And there were rumors at that time that they were going to merge with Yahoo, and the new company was going to be Net and Yahoo.
And it would be perfect. I mean, I can see him wanting to buy that out.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I thought about his last name a couple of different times. I'm sure he's been teased.
No, that's
once about that.
That's relatively new, isn't it? The book.
It is. Yeah, it's brand new.
Good Christmas gift idea.
Yep, it sure is. Five. What is the latest IRA tax rule you're aware of? Latest IRA tax rule. What do you say, Heidi?
Oh, well, there's been a couple.
See, it's not really fair.
I wasn't
She's
sure
looking
she
at
was
the information.
Yeah. But are the most major. Legislation was the Secure Act of 2020. And then this year, what really we covered several times on this show is the IRS came out with a paper interpreting what the law, how they were going to interpret the law, which was different than they had in previous cases. And so assumptions that had been made were sort of thrown up in the air. And so that was a little bit of an upheaval. But that was an interpretation of the law, which was interesting.
The beneficiary IRA, and that they waived required minimum distributions for the 2 years all the way through 22 here for those who are beneficiaries, non-spouse beneficiaries.
So is that a pretty good answer?
It is an excellent answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's very good.
Good job, Heidi.
A six, how do you determine the best option for my lump sum distribution? What are all of my choices? That's probably one of the key questions. Key question. Yep. What is? How do you determine the best option for my lump sum distribution? Is it always an IRA rollover? Should I leave it in the 401k? Should I transfer it to another 401k with another workplace? Why should I roll it to an IRA? Well, because you're 80 years old. And you want the dispersal of these funds to be more directed than they might otherwise. You'd like a financial advisor to help you do this with possibly your spouse and your children in tow. You know, that's a possible answer. So sometimes the best answers are no, stay where you are. Sometimes they are, you need to move, and here's why. But there are great forms that we have to help you fill out now to help you compare the options. What about the fees, the costs, the benefits? Does that override where I currently am? All those can come into play. And then what are you looking, what's the purpose for this money, right? What are you wanting it to do? Well, it needs to provide income at some point. So you just, I mean, don't you just love hearing this? I love hearing myself talk because it's so to real to life. That's what's so, I mean, what do you want this money to do for you, right? What do you want it to accomplish for you?
Well,
and that's where you really get some speed.
Well, it's really important to know all the options because what we do, Dennis and I do as financial advisors, we have to put all those options through your personal story and what your personal needs are in your situation, because each situation can have a different answer as to which is the best choice. Or maybe it's a combination of choices.
I was going to say, so, sometimes it's not that specific. So sometimes maybe it is a combination where you got to leave part back and you need to roll some too. You could do either one, you know, and weighing that out for yourself.
And that's why it's important to know all the options. So
absolutely. And Dennis and Heidi, you as advisors, you have the pleasure of doing life together with your clients, and doing life together means knowing what's going on in their life, and that's where trust is so important, and take all that into account and do the best for each client.
I love that example. A gentleman who's now retired, and I'm referencing a conversation that happened 2 weeks ago, and he said, you know what I used to tell my clients, he was a retired financial advisor, is, you know, if I'm someone that you can picture getting along with in very personal subjects, because this is just about as personal as it gets, then I'm possibly someone that you could work with. If you can't picture that, then it's probably not a good fit. You know, that was a relatively simple explanation, but it's very true. Is this person someone I can work with in talking through this stuff? Will they hear me and listen? Okay, that may be part of it, too. Seven, how would you keep track of my IRA beneficiary form? Is that something you'll think about right off the top? No.
Well, as an advisor, I have to say, yes, I think about that all the time.
Yeah, so we actually print that off each time a client comes in. What are your IRA beneficiaries? Who's primary? Who's contingent? And does it still make sense?
Right. And that's why you have to look at it consistently, time after time after time, because what was okay 10 years ago, the situation may have changed.
Yes.
So you always want to go back and check in on those beneficiary forms and make sure it's what you want.
When should I update my IRA beneficiary form, Heidi? What would you say to that? Put you on the spot again?
Well, one, if you can't find it or you don't know what you put on, it's been so long, you could just do another beneficiary form to make sure it's what you want. You can also update it anytime there's a life event, a birth, a marriage, a divorce, an adoption, something like that. So those big life events are good triggers, but it doesn't hurt to just review it every year, once a year, to say, oh yeah, That's what I want. That's the right thing. And that's what Dennis was talking about. When our clients come in, we always review that beneficiary report to make sure spellings, kids get married, things like that. So we like to keep it updated and current.
Yes. For right now, we're still allowing our three children to inherit. I'm hoping to see them at Christmas time.
Hint, hint.
Yes, whatever, right? Eight. Here's a nerd question. Can you show me the IRS life expectancy tables?
I see that, Heidi. I see that.
Heidi
carries those everywhere she goes.
She's a ready reference source. Seriously, she was holding them up.
Yes.
So the answer is yes, I can.
Yeah. And why would that be important? And this will be our last question for the day.
Well, that tends towards our next item that we're going to do, RMDs. So,
yeah, how to figure out how much you need to take out. And then the one last question, I cheated. I said I wasn't going to, but it's really that good. Do you know what will happen to my IRA after I die? Now, not everyone likes to talk about death. We hate using that word in this audience, but what will happen to my IRA after I die? That is a great question to ask a financial advisor. Important. right?
Right.
Yes, sir. RMD questions. Heidi, please, if you would.
Yeah, so Ed Slott put out this little quiz at the beginning of December. And I thought it might be fun to see, because Ron listens to us every week. And let's see how Ron can do with an RMD quiz if he can get some of these right. So
you don't want me as a financial advisor.
So I'm just going to read the intro here. So set the stage for the quiz. So if you have an IRA, you should know that the funds that are in the account can't stay there forever. The rules say that you must begin taking required minimum distributions from your IRA once you reach your golden years. So we're going to have an example. Meet Gary, who is about to embark on his retirement years. This year, in 2022, it's been a great year for Gary. He just retired from his job, and he celebrated his 72nd birthday. He has a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, and a 401k plan. The sole beneficiary of all three of his retirement accounts is his wife, Linda, who is 60 years old. So let's go to the first question, Ron. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Woo-hoo. From which retirement accounts will Gary need to take RMDs for the year 2022?
You've got three options there.
Yep.
So number one is his traditional IRA and the Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. Number two, his traditional IRA and the 401k. Or number three, all three accounts.
Exactly. So which one would you say?
Don't you love that question, because it's really not indicative of what the answer would be, because there's so many nice options there. Yeah.
So I'm going to say number one is traditional and the Roth IRA.
Oh.
No, there's number two, right?
Yep.
Because number is a Roth IRA, you don't have to take out of it.
That is right.
Okay. Good job.
B is the right answer. Yeah.
I should have gone with my gut, number two.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So interesting now, because the key component there was he just retired from his job. Yeah. If he hadn't retired and he was working any time at all, and he's not a more than 5% owner of that company, he does not have to take an RMD from that 401k.
Uh-huh.
Now, that might be one reason, given your tax situation, that you do want to leave that money in your 401k, even if you're, you know, approaching that age and still working. Okay.
Exactly. So question two is, what is the deadline for Gary to take his first RMD from his traditional IRA? Is it A, December 31st of 2022? B, December 31st of 2023, April 1st of 2023.
Is the C option.
Is C. Or the final option, D, is April 15th of 2023.
Well, so he just retired. Here we are, December of 22 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this calendar year, December 31st, he has to take his RMD. Ah.
Ah. Sorry, Ron. The answer is C, April 1st of 2023.
That's the one I thought for sure was wrong. I thought, because April Fool's Day, I thought that was a setup.
No, actually, it's a rule.
Can you believe Congress? I hadn't thought about it that way. Dennis, it's April Fool's Day, right?
Yeah. And the key is his first RMD here, because just that first year, you can wait until April of the following year. But every year after that,
December 31st.
You would be right.
Okay.
Every year except the first.
Now, why would somebody want to wait until next year to take their RMD?
Because
why do they want to do that?
Because they don't tax.
Yeah.
Income tax, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
You know, what's my income if it's that much greater this year? Maybe I do want to forestall it till next.
Right. And it also, think if you do delay it, then you might have to you'll have to take two in the same year, so that would influence your tax decision as well. Okay, question three, Ron, you're gonna get it. So to calculate his first IRA RMD, Gary should use which IRS life expectancy table? We have A, the single life expectancy table, B, the uniform life expectancy table, and C, the joint life expectancy table.
Now, the clue on this is his wife is 60. He is 72. Okay.
Well, I was going to say A, the single life expectancy table, because it's his IRA, And he's the only one that has to take the RMD.
So you were going to say that?
No,
or
that's what I'm saying.
That's
okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Ah. Dennis tried to give you a clue. Because his wife is more than 10 years younger than he is, he is allowed to take the joint life expectancy table because of the disparity in the ages.
Wow. Yeah, just thinking about driving down the street, you know, and you see one of those marijuana places.
Yeah.
Ron, that's a joint life expectancy table.
There you okay, mm-hmm. You can get this one because it's a 50-50 chance here, Ron. Question four. Gary can satisfy the RMD from his traditional IRA by taking it instead from either his Roth IRA or his 401k.
And the answer is A, true, or B, false.
Right. So correct.
Two possibilities there.
Taking it. I am going to say 401k.
No, it's true or false.
Oh no.
Yes. Wait.
He can say. Oh, okay. I'm going to say false.
Yes.
Yes!
Ron got good one right.
Yes. The audience can't stop cheering. They love that.
Woo.
Yeah. Yes. Good job. That's it's right. False.
And we have one final question for you, Ron. If Gary fails to take his IRA RMD by the deadline, he will be subject to what penalty? Is it A, 6%, B, 10%, C, 25%, or D, 50%?
D, 50%.
Yes.
You rock.
Yes,
indeed.
Good job.
Ron Jolly, ladies
you
and gentlemen.
You finished strong. So good job.
Coming
Ron.
From behind.
Yes.
There you go.
I mean, it's almost like the Lions in real life.
Yeah. I was still 2 for 5, but that's all right. Strong finish.
Hey, yeah. Hey. Yeah, finish
those
strong.
Are tricky questions.
They are.
Good job, man. And it's it points up. In fact, when Heidi, you started that thing with those questions of this gentleman having 3 different retirement accounts. That's pretty much average of
yes.
what we see. I mean, this is not
that's
extraordinary
not
at all.
Yeah.
You know, clients have Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, all the rest of it. It can be complex in the setup. Mm-hmm. Well, I had this account 50 years ago, you know, not that long ago, but in previous work, and it all adds up if someone is into the saving habit.
So we were talking about stats as a group. What do we want to share? And we could talk about Christmas inflation prices, but what fun is that?
That's not fun.
So I found this article, Interesting Christmas Facts, and it's actually from Good Housekeeping article. Brew a cup of tea when trimming your tree this year to pay homage to its origins. When Prince Albert of Germany got a tree for his new wife, Queen Victoria of England, the tradition really took off across the pond. A drawing of the couple in front of a Christmas tree first appeared in Illustrated London News in 1848. To use modern parlance, the idea went viral.
Ah.
And it's
isn't that, talk about a great movie too. It brings to mind Victoria, I
yes,
think. Oh, wasn't
I
that
love the, that
yeah.
movie.
Oh my gosh.
So
yeah.
interesting. So well done. And then a source, the Capital Counselor, said Americans are expected to spend almost $6.1 billion on Christmas trees.
Wow.
That's just astounding.
Isn't it?
It is.
But then when you go and look at prices yeah. like Christmas trees, yeah. it does add up quickly.
We do like Christmas trees.
We love them. Yes. They're wonderful. Turns out we first started dashing through the snow for an entirely different holiday. James Lord Pierpont wrote the song called One Horse Open Sleigh for his church's Thanksgiving concert in the mid-19th century. Then in 1857, the song was re-released under the title we all know and love, Jingle Bells. Mm. Today, it's still among the most popular of Christmas songs. We all know the same few handful of Christmas songs played at stores and on the radio in a loop all season long, but one of them has been adapted more than others. Silent Night earns that title as the most recorded Christmas song in history. It's had more than 733 different versions copyrighted since 1978.
Oh, that's a few.
Wow. I think the songwriter was Hans Gruber, and if you've ever watched Die Hard... The bad guy, his name is Hans Gruber.
Oh, really? That's fun.
Yeah.
At the end,
yeah.
They stole it, huh? Yeah.
Well, it's the season. You see a lot of Christmas wreaths on doors, and I actually saw one in the back of a Jeep Wrangler the other day. I thought that was really cute.
Oh.
But the Christmas wreath first originated as a symbol of Christ. The holly represents the crown of thorns Jesus wore at crucifixion, and the red berries stand for the blood he shed. So when you see a wreath this holiday, you'll remember the reason for the season.
So that, did you say the tree?
The wreath.
The wreath. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. The
okay.
wreath. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's
a total new one for me.
Yeah.
The holly represents the crown of thorns mm-hmm. Jesus wore at his crucifixion,
mm-hmm.
and the red berries stand for the blood he shed. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
By the way, Silent Night was written by Franz, not Hans.
Oh, Franz.
Franz Gruber.
Must have been a distant cousin.
Yeah. You were close.
Franz.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That comes down to the Hans and Franz thing. Then that's where they got that from.
We will pump you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and here's the origins of the candy cane. The National Confectioners Association says a choir master originally gave the red and white striped candies to young children to keep them quiet during marathon church services. Grandmas who still sneak the kids' sweets during droning sermons, history is on your side. It wasn't until a German-Swedish immigrant decorated his tree with candy canes in 1847 that they became popular as a Christmas candy.
How about that?
Well.
And the last one. The first Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center looked more like Charlie Brown's than the resplendent one today. Construction workers first placed a small, undecorated tree while working there in 1931. Mm. 2 years later, another tree appeared in its place, this time draped in lights. It just kept getting bigger every year. Today, the majestic tree bears more than 25,000 twinkling lights and sees millions of selfie takers each season.
Wow. That's
cool.
A nice story.
Yeah, you bet, Deanne. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great to hear some of that interesting stuff about Christmas. Well, okay, so we've got a little bit more time here to talk about the economy. If you do have a question, you're welcome to text it or call. And if not, that's fine, too. We wish you each a very Merry Christmas and hope that it's healthy, happy time with family and that you can stay healthy, right, so you can get together with them. Well, we know there's lots of stuff going around. So for all of you out there, thank you for listening this last year. We are so thankful for you and your community. And Ron's leadership here at WTCM, I'll just say it that way, really does mean something to our listeners who often exclaim how much they love hearing Ron and your deep commitment to our community. It's so valuable and meaningful to all of us here who get to listen to you almost daily, Ron.
Almost
daily.
Well, thank you
for hosting us.
Thank you for...
We love doing it with you. We really do.
For being here in the Prout Financial Design Studio.
Oh, amazing. You bet.
That's right.
Love being a part of it, and glad we could help. So, the economy, what's it look like in the year ahead? This is from Vanguard. We mentioned last week Capital Group's information regarding it. And in some respects, Vanguard's is similar and some a bit different. They say back here, this is November 23rd, so about 3 weeks or so. In our 2022 Economic and Market Outlook, we outlined how we believe the removal of policy accommodation would shape the economic and financial market landscape. They mean raising interest rates. And they were, of course, very right. And what's interesting about that, too, policy has, in fact, driven conditions globally in 2022, one of the most rapidly evolving economic and financial market environments in history. So if you thought it was happening quickly, you were right.
Hmm.
Just tell your spouse that. You know, I was right when this thing seems to be going like... subpoena speed, if you will. Right?
Does it seem like the market, either any of the indexes, have been radical, like either up 200 one day, then down 90, then up 150, then down 300, and instead of like up 30, down 20? Seems like a rockier ride.
It is a rockier ride. Much more volatile because everyone's trying to, if you will, look at the tea leaves. You know, what's the future hold? It's a bit cloudy because there's so much noise. So much noise. Russia, China, our own economy, rising interest rates, the threats of inflation, you know, COVID coming in, even back in here more recently. I mean, it's easy to pick 8 to 10 different major issues we're facing. You know, are we going to be in a recession? Everybody's trying to guess that, and pretty much many professionals saying that we probably are going to head into one. Well, how deep of a recession is the next question. How much of an impact will it have on our economy? How much impact will it have on spending? We're seeing that spending is starting to come down. They've been trying to drive it down, and they're being successful. You know, what, up close and personal, a head of lettuce costs more than $6. You know, obviously, you're probably not going to buy that as an option. You're going to look for other alternatives.
Is that what it cost?
Yeah. Well, Jill, my wife, was commenting about, I don't know what kind of lettuce it was. She was just in awe.
I think iceberg lettuce is more than if you get the 3-pack of Roman. It's weird.
It's just wow, crazy. So because they've had issues out there, doesn't mean that they need to hand it over to you, right? Obviously, you're going to make that economic decision. So all of those are coming together in terms of inflation and all the rest, and different views from different folks.
So next week, the 22nd,
it'll be our Christmas show.
Christmas special.
Pre-recorded, and then the following week, the best of, and then, as
and
they
back.
Say,
yes.
You bet.
With John
live.
Sluice.
With John
Sluice live.
Yeah.
Tax accountant.
Early January,
right.
Yep.
Tax
CPA.
Questions.
We'll be talking accounting questions and issues related to 23. And again, thank you for listening.
Yes.
We wish you all the best this Christmas season.
Yes, Merry Christmas to all.
Our last live show with Prout Financial Design.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Deanne Jennings, Heidi Cartwright, Dennis Prout, and the whole staff at the newly located Prout Financial Design. Merry Christmas.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Sure
Thanks,
appreciate
Ron.
It.
Thank you, Ron.